Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Volunteer Spotlight. I am your host, Evan Starnes.
And I'm sitting next to Evan. My name's Kevin Martindale.
Yes, and he is the Volunteer of the Month for July.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and you've been a volunteer for, well...
It'll be coming up on 24 years.
Goodness gracious.
Usually I don't remember those dates and numbers, but in this case... I do remember there was an event that happened about 24 years ago. It was called September 11th, 2001. And 1 week after that, I was laid off from my high-tech job, and suddenly I found I had time on my hands. And a couple months earlier than that, I had heard a talk by the executive director of a place called RRSR, the Radio Reading Service of the Rockies. David Dawson was his name, and he was just telling us about his nonprofit and thought, you know, I might be interested in volunteering for that. So that had just been a couple months before 9/11. So anyhow, found I had time, showed up, passed the qualification test, which at that time was I had to read one paragraph, and I became a volunteer.
That's awesome. You actually answered like three or four usual questions that I asked, so way to go. That was awesome.
Wow, lucky.
Indeed. But besides volunteering, we were actually talking before when I was kind of giving you a tour of the office here, and what would you say what was your career prior to volunteering?
Yeah, I was a software engineer, had a computer science degree, had been working 4 years in Iowa, then 4 years in Florida, and I wanted to go to a better place, and I called that Colorado. Since we moved out here, my wife and I and two kids, we moved here in 1983, so we've been here just over 40 years. And finally got a job out here, and we said, man, this is the best place. Colorado is where I want to be, and stayed here the whole time in Boulder.
Do you still have the same opinion? It's gotten quite a lot bigger now, and we have...
It's more crowded for sure, and prices have really gone up, but it was easier. I retired 6 years ago, and so I only go to the hardware store now on the weekdays in the middle of the day, and it's amazing how few people there are than when you had to go on the weekends when you were working.
Yeah, and even trying to commute to and from work and dealing with rush hour and stuff, it's night and day difference.
Absolutely. The commute was starting to be killer. I was glad I retired. So I'm a pretty happy guy now.
Nice.
I ride my bike and I go golfing, and those are kind of my pastimes in addition to working yard.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I like all sorts of sports.
And would you say, kind of on another note, speaking of, you know, more on the subject of audio and audio content, would you prefer to listen to music, audiobooks, podcasts, or something I didn't mention? What's your, like, most preferred?
You know, it shifts from time to time. I'll read books sometimes for a while, and then I'll go to podcasts, and... I'm more of an outside guy anyhow. I like to be outside doing things, so we'll listen to more, read more books online, and have podcasts more in the winter. So I'm more of a seasonal guy as far as that stuff.
Gotcha. And when you first started at, well, Radio Reading Service of the Rockies, of course, now Aftersight, all that good stuff,
yeah.
Did you first start out, you know, reading the Boulder Daily Camera?
No, I've been doing the Daily Camera now. Daily Camera and Longmont Times Call on Wednesdays. And I've been doing that for quite a few years now. But I started with the Rocky Mountain News, which is now defunct. That went under. And after the Rocky Mountain News, I went to the Denver Post. After the Denver Post, he had one more in there. I can't remember what it was. But shortly thereafter, I did get a job, and due to scheduling times, I asked if I could change out of that paper, go to an earlier show. Now, the early shows, we used to do them live. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, we'd be reading the Boulder Daily Camera, the long call. Only we'd be doing it live so I could get it done early in the morning, go to work, then not have to worry about getting recording in. That was great, actually. I got to tell you, reading live, you're pretty dang nervous, but you get over it. And also, what made that fun was we did a buddy system. There were two readers, and reader A would read one article, and then he could get the next article ready, and the second article would be read by the second guy. So you just toggle back and forth, and it went real smooth, but you got to know your reading buddy. Great to come into the studios and equipment. Nice recording. It's all live. Yep.
I always forget about the live readings because we only really stopped doing those like right before COVID and before we upgraded our broadcasting equipment and everything. And I'd always wondered, and I know the answer now, but I'm sure for those curious, like, you know, with recorded content, you have the luxury, you know, if you do something like have to clear your throat or burp or fart, believe me, Alex and I have had plenty of laughs about recordings of people farting in the studio. Still makes me very, very giddy from time to time. But did you have like a way to mute if you needed to do anything like that?
You did. We had a mute button. And so if you felt like you're going to cough or something like that, you had to hit the mute button, hold it down. And then as soon as you released it, you'd be back live. And so it helped out some. But, you know, I think the listener would hear a second or two of dead silence. But
right.
We had a mute button. Yeah, that's right.
That's good. Because, I don't know. When I'm thinking and stuff, I make weird mouth noises and stuff. I edit them out. I edit everything to pieces. But, yeah, that would be nerve-wracking. I'm
assuming you have to do a lot of editing on my show.
No, I hardly ever touch volunteer shows nowadays. I feel like we've gotten people pretty well trained and, you know, advancements in audio gear and stuff like that. But I guess kind of speaking of advancements, you know, AfterSight's undergone loads of change from, you know, when we first started establishing a studio in Colorado Springs in the 90s and then eventually,
went on the Western Slope.
Yeah, we eventually went on the Western Slope and eventually, switched radios and broadcasting equipment and all that good stuff and all the rebrands. But what was did you get to experience kind of the old recording process when you first started at RRSR?
You bet I did. I'll tell you, not only has the recording changed, but I've changed. When I started, I had dark hair and a beard, and now I'm clean shaven, have white hair. Evan, you're talking to a 71-year-old retired guy. And I have seen a lot of changes at doing these shows. I think everything has gotten better, improved. And, you know, we had, before, the only way that you could listen to the recordings and things like that was to go to channel 6. You could go to a secondary audio channel in addition to an FM channel that things were broadcast out now. But we've really changed so that we've got, you know, this access via telephone where you can call in and the internet.
Now we're giving people smart speakers too.
Yes, and smart speakers. So you just talk to your speaker and go and get the show. So it's really improved technology-wise.
Well, in the recording process in general, because when we first started, we were using old school analog reel-to-reel tape machines. And then according to what I'd heard from the late Cat Bradbury, we used jazz drives. And that's like it's like a floppy drive kind of
correct
thing, but it's meant for multimedia. It was really interesting, and it did not last very long. And
so Kat was the volunteer coordinator, amongst other jobs that she had here.
Oh, yeah. She did a lot.
And interesting note there. She and I were born just hours apart on the same day. She was born in California. I was born in North Dakota, but we always had that buddy relationship and that we were just hours apart old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, I didn't know that. That's So you guys shared the same birthday. So anytime you came in on your birthday, you got cake from, because I feel like we've always done that for staff birthdays. We'll bring in like cakes and stuff. So
that's right.
Hey, we brought donuts in earlier too. You know, it's like, we love our treats here, but nowadays what we're trying to do is really kind of just expand access to information. And that essentially means, you know, just giving people the same access to the exact same newspaper that, you know, sighted individuals would have otherwise. And that has kind of incorporated things like reading advertisements, describing images. And we're also trying to figure out a way to read front to back. And how have you handled the image description, ad reading, and, you know, what are your thoughts on it?
I think it's a good idea. It is allowing people to hear about things that are in the paper that they definitely wouldn't have access to had they not had somebody reading, describing what was there. I mean, 90% of the time I have articles that I read on Wednesday, and the normal articles that are in there is on Tuesday, the Boulder Valley School Board meet, the mayor and the Boulder Council meet on Tuesdays. So a lot of our articles come from those organizations. And
pretty time
sensitive.
It's
kind of dry at times. I mean, you got to be somewhat politically minded to want to listen to those articles, but that's what's there, and that's what information is available. And I think that's important that we get out what is written to keep people up to date on things. So most of my articles, I don't have to describe anything. This is coming to you from the Boulder City Council. They had their meeting last night. Here we go.
I'm glad to see that you share our opinions, because it's definitely something we have been trying to get people on board with. And especially if you've been, you know, reading the same thing for long enough, you get into that routine. It's kind of a bit of a curveball. I think the biggest thing though that we're really trying to prioritize is keeping, you know, human readers and the human voice, because no matter how good your fancy pantsy AI stuff gets, you'll never really replace the human elements at all.
You know, when I was reading, I often said, I bet there's no one listening to my shows, because we'd get a lot more complaints if there was really someone out there listening. So I always kidded when we did the buddy system, that I said, there can't be anyone out there listening or we'd have a lot of complaints.
Since you've been a volunteer as long as you have, do you happen to have any notable stories or, you know, kind of experiences that still kind of stick with you during your time at AfterSight?
Do I really?
It's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question. I'll tell you, it might be something that people might want to consider, and that is to come into the studio and do the reading. I tell you, pre-COVID, many people would come in and read in the studio, and what was good about it is you would meet other volunteers that would also be coming in and reading, and get to know them. You'd get to know the staff. You'd get to know what's going on at AfterSight, and you really find out what good you are doing by being a volunteer here. Once COVID hit and we started all recording from our home and not coming into the studio so much, you lose that connection with the people and other volunteers that are out there. And so it can feel like kind of a lonely volunteer thing where you're not really interacting with people. Everybody is getting your podcast, you know, on their own, and you don't get to meet the recipients of recording. And so I would just say, volunteers out there, come on into the studio once in a while and see what's going on here. And it keeps you more connected and keeps you positive about being a volunteer.
I am really glad you said that, because I think one of the biggest things that we really try to do is keep folks encouraged and engaged and really try to show them where their content is going, and the fact that your audio isn't just going out into the ether, you know. And, you know, and yes, like, come into the studio, get, you can sign up for an orientation. We have, you know, really good professional microphones, coffee, of course, and snacks. And yeah, I don't know. I don't need to really try and incentivize, but, you know, if you'd like to get to meet us, you're in the Colorado, the Louisville area, or pretty close by, you know, yeah, stop by, just book your studio, and we'll be happy to take you in. I look forward to days when people come into the studios, and I'm starting to lose my voice, and that means I think we should probably wrap this episode up here pretty quick. But before we do you have any questions for me or the entirety of AfterSight that you've been wanting to ask? I always like to have that spot.
No, I don't think so, because I've been around long enough. I kind of know how this is going, and I know how our listenership has increased over the years. We're reaching a lot more people with a lot more content. I think that Kim Ann Wardlow has done a fantastic job moving AfterSight along, yeah. And I think we're doing a great job. Good place to volunteer for.
I'm so glad to hear that. Well, Kevin, I'd really like, first of all, thank you for stopping by and letting us give you a tour. It was always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope you enjoyed your time on the Volunteer Spotlight.
Thanks for putting me in the spotlight, Evan. It was great. I'm glad I could I've incorporated my volunteering here as just part of my regular schedule. I'm kind of used to it, and I've stuck with it. 24th year coming up.
Congratulations. You're going to hit your 25 before you know it. Alrighty, with that being said, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. Congratulations again, Kevin. This has been another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight, and I'm your host, Evan Starnes.